Welcome to episode 301, the Springfield Files. I'm LG, and I was an executive producer on this episode.
I'm Mike Reese. I was also an exec producer on this.
David Silverman, supervising director.
Steve Moore, director.
Matt Groening, creator of the Happy Little Elves.
And Reed Harrison, the written-by guy.
This episode was one of the four episodes that Mike Reese and I produced when we were working for Disney, and they agreed to let us do some Simpson episodes on the side. And one thing I wanted to note was that, you know, we came up with this episode and wrote it, and then and rewrote it, and we, you know, produced it, and we then found out there was a show called The X-Files, which really surprised us. But it all worked out well because we could get David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson to appear in the episode, and the rest is history.
Now, what I remember about this idea, I don't know how many years before it came on the air, we had, or I think you even had come up with the idea, but I remember the key thing was, The X-Files was sort of a brand new show, and we thought, hey, we'll throw a little bone to this new show we like, and it hadn't really caught on yet. That's when we had the idea, and then what was the gestation? Was it 5 years?
What happened was, yeah, this might be the longest from conception to execution. There was a story retreat in, I think, 92, where we were trying to think of ideas, and we were working at Sony, and I remember I went in the bathroom, and there was a copy of TV Guide with the X-Files on the cover, and I thought, oh, this is a good idea. So I came back, and I said to Mike, we should just do a crossover. And then we pitched it, and nobody wanted to do the episode. So again, when we got this deal where we could do some on the side, then we said, okay, we'll do this. And Reed had written a script. Was it a Larry Sanders that
it was
Mike
Larry
had read?
Sanders.
Yeah, a spec. And you guys read that and hired me to write an episode of The Critic for the season that never got made. I mean, you didn't hire me to make it for the season that never got made. I mean, you just, that would have been kind of ridiculous. But yeah, so we and then when that didn't happen, you said, "Well, how'd you like to write one of these?" So really, those two were the first shows that I ever wrote for money. I mean, you know, it was amazing. It was the very first jobs that I had had.
People always want to know just how you break into TV or how we find our writers, and they always go, oh, just Harvard guys helping Harvard guys. We read hundreds of spec scripts, and it all just comes off of spec scripts, and out of a giant pile, we saw Reed's script and really loved it, hired you. We had never met you or knew you or anything like that, but it was...
And she knew I was from William & Mary.
Yeah.
That's a different mafia.
Educated at Heidelberg.
Well, yeah,
wow.
That's right.
So,
well, the other thing that's a little ironic about The Critic was, we were working on The Critic, and it was on Fox, and the Fox studio didn't own the show. It was canceled, and then they picked up King of the Hill, which was another animated show. And we always thought one reason they did is because they saw we were actually doing well following The Simpsons, but they wanted a show that they owned. And then this episode premiered King of the Hill. This episode aired and King of the Hill's premiere followed it on January 12th, 1997.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow. And the bitter rivalry we began.
I don't think it's King of the Hill. It's a great show. But, they found it a little ironic.
I think this is the one scene that got cut out of the syndicated version. It's it remains here. I'm wondering if anybody even remembers Waterworld in the first place.
Or putting quarters in a machine.
Yeah, right.
Why is it? He's playing Alowin.
Alowin, yeah.
What is that? I mean, it's a funny parody.
Well, I just wanted to say that the next act of this episode, the one that features Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, was boarded by one of our great board artists, Kevin O'Brien, who's now at Pixar. And he's accomplished a lot up there, but he was a big fan of the show and asked to work on it, as did a lot of the animators, because they were
so
fans of the show.
Fans.
So I didn't have to turn away. Well, I didn't have any trouble getting good artists to work on the show.
No, there was like a whole contingency of people that would always get together and watch like the episode before and talk about it at like some lunchtime once a week. Very popular at The Simpsons.
It was helpful for me because I hadn't actually watched The X-Files very much, so Kevin was able to put a lot of the stuff in the show that he knew about it, the smoking man and some of the scenes and some of the other stuff. So it was really great to have that.
What I should say, too, is we sent the script before we produced it to Chris Carter, the creator of The X-Files, and he said it was an honor to be satirized by The Simpsons. He was a terrific guy. And I got to go, to the set and direct David and Gillian. And I remember when we got David Duchovny, He said this was his dream. I don't think meeting me, but I think doing comedy. And then subsequent to The X-Files, I noticed he's done a lot of comedy. He's extremely funny. And, you know, I think it is a great, you know, thing for him.
He's also in the Queer Duck movie, which is out on DVD right now. He plays Tiny Jesus, and he's very funny. Thanks for the setup.
There he goes. Well, this is the first time he did anything, any comedy, really.
And Gillian Anderson
and
was
the Queer
also
Duck movie is your movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's my movie, but that's not important. What's important is it's great and a good value.
This is one of our many, many psycho parodies of the Bernard Herrmann score.
I like the guy in the kettle drum just in the back just smoking a cigarette.
Because there are no instruments other than strings in psycho.
You're right.
One thing I can tell about this episode, too, is, you know, every show we have a table reading where the cast reads the script and the writers gather around. And we see what gets laughs and what doesn't. This episode, because it was just Mike and me and Reed and David Stern in this room, got no laughs.
Oh, that's right.
Really?
It was so awful. It was dead. It was the worst read I've been to. But we weren't sure, you know, because we really didn't have any audience.
Oh, you mean the other writers didn't come?
They didn't come, no.
I thought they were being
snotty.
No, it was
just like, you know, okay. 9 people sitting there. And so we just had no idea how this was going to play when it finally aired.
It's amazing, yeah. Because I haven't watched this since it aired 9 years ago, 8 years ago, and I'm going, geez, this is funny. It's pretty good stuff. And it was just 4 writers.
This joke I remember was David Stern's, which we put in after the read.
That was a gorgeous sequence, by the way.
Very nicely done. Really Lance Kramer, who's the director now, requested to do that sequence.
He did a great job.
So I gave Lance Kramer. So. Anytime you see the aliens, usually Lance, who did that.
We worked really hard on that to make sure the design worked, that you'd believe, you know, at the end it would be Burns, and you'd believe the shape that it
spoiler
would be.
Spoiler alert!
For those of you who haven't seen the episode, why are you listening to us?
Why are you watching the commentary first?
The effects on the alien were actually, we had to shoot a lot of tests. It would be very easy to do now because of our digital capacities, but when we were shooting on cell and film, we had
back
to shoot shovel tests to get it to look the right way. And
yeah.
Lisa is reading Junior Skeptic magazine there, and this episode got a rave review in Skeptical Inquirer. That's the best review we ever got there.
Yeah, their best grade, B-.
By the way, we were talking about how what a great guy to work with was Leonard Nimoy, the second show he did with us, and going to the recording with him, he's just a great, nice guy, did funny readings.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts ever was him in Marge vs. the Monorail, so we got him back for this, and terrific, and then Matt used him several times in Futurama as well.
Oh, it was awful. They set me on a...
And that's it, he's not a star people have used in comedy, have they?
Oh, he's very funny.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Well, the funniest thing I remember is that we have him singing at the end, and so he got to that part, and he looks at us and goes, I know why you want me to sing.
But he went for it anyway.
Steve, I wasn't sure you mentioned, this was the first show you directed, right?
No, actually, no. The first one I directed was Marge Be Not Proud. But first one I directed
second?
For you guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What was my first directing,
proud?
You guys had... Well, actually, my first directing was on The Critic. We'll do the DVD commentary.
I'm wrong about everything.
Wrong Steve Moore.
Why do we keep plugging The Critic? We could be plugging the Queer Duck movie.
We took this directly from an episode that they used. They tried to make it as much like the show because we knew we'd be watched.
So you recorded them in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, that's where they shot the early years of The X-Files.
How long did it take?
Oh, it was really quick. I mean, you know, they're playing themselves, so it wasn't... And they came in separately, although they were there together for a little bit. It was a real thrill. They were great. Chris was great.
I never watched The X-Files before this episode, and when I heard these performances, I said, they're so flat! Come on! You couldn't get better for... These are great actors! What's going on? Why are they talking so flat?
Actually, you're here to see your husband about his UFO encounter.
I remember he thought it was really funny
that we had him in his Speedo and his driver's license.
They're always working
that into the show, getting him in,
Here we go.
That was what Chris said. It was funny to get the guy naked.
Our most illegal shot in history.
Yeah, exactly.
Just appropriating characters.
Marvin.
And Al and I worked on Alf. That was Alf who just walked off screen. And I think a couple of weeks after it aired, we got a call from the guy who was the voice of Alf and the creator of the show. And that voice is his voice. So we get a call, hey, you know who this is? It's like, yes, we know who this is. And he just said, next time we use Alf on the show, let him do the voice. He would have loved to have done it.
And you said, yes, we will.
I'm still waiting for that call.
What's the point of this test?
No point.
Wow, that's gorgeous.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Now, this is something. I feel bad about this. They don't do a teletype noise on the X-Files.
No.
And I said, you got to put it in. And even though they don't do it, it looks weird without it. But this is the kind of thing that bugs me 8 years later. So sorry.
Get over it.
The FBI. We were sitting in Barney's car eating packets of mustard.
Those are great caricatures, by the way.
They're great because they're very simple.
Well, also, she's one of the few actresses I thought that even stays pretty in her Simpson look.
Yeah.
Very hard to do.
Yeah, we tried hard to make them look Simpsonized, but look good. They're good-looking people, so you try to keep that.
Who are you guys, anyhow?
Agents Mulder and Scully, FBI.
There it is.
There it is.
I remember, I think that was a note you gave me on the board to add him in a Speedo when he holds up the wallet.
This is another instance of Moe smuggling black and white large animals, right? The other one was pandas, right?
Endangered.
That's pretty much the limit of black and white.
Yeah. And he has a whole zebra thing that hasn't been discovered.
For the love of God, help me! I've been here for 4 days and a turtle's got a hold of my teeth! There he is!
How kitschy.
We'd actually done the teeth before, too, where the dog had his teeth in his mouth. But this was episode 167. How many more could there be?
No, this is much more irritating. I've seen enough, Mulder. Let's go.
Yeah, okay. But somewhere out there, something is watching us. There are alien forces acting in ways we can't perceive.
She's heard this before.
We had more of this, I think, too. That he really went with it.
No! Oh, who would have thought a whale could be so heavy?
That was your line, I think.
That's why I laughed.
Arch, I never felt so alone. No one believes me.
Did we fiddle with this much after... I mean, it feels like this was the original script. Did we do much to it in animatic and color?
No, I think, it was one of those things where either that read was, not accurate, But, there really wasn't that much we could change after a while. And then it was, a funny show, so...
I know it went out for a critical review. I think Fox Publicity just sent it out, and we got really great reviews. It was very nice, very heartening.
And then it was aired right around the Super Bowl, too, right? I believe
that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
January 12th, 1997.
Hammer is.
Well,
no, I'm not.
Well, then, good night.
I'm a savant that way.
Hey, Dad. What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Oh, I suppose you're going to mock me, too.
Well, actually, Dad, I believe you.
You do?
This is always
Shadows,
sweet.
By the way. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just thought any time these two guys are on a little adventure and pulling together, it's always fun, it's always sweet.
And crazy. Hopefully crazy.
I was going to say, directing-wise, aren't shadows one of the hardest things to do?
Well, when we were... they were difficult when we did things on cell with film.
They were much more difficult. Yeah, because you'd have to call them and they'd have to be put on by a different percentage and shot twice. But now when we use them, we try to use them where they're going to have some effect. If we use them all the time, you'll lose their impact. In case
this
was
a commercial. It was in the 90s. Yeah, which has never been
back in the old days.
I was going to add, too, for people who aren't aware, we did cell animation on the show up through the 13th season, and then starting in season 14, we went to digital coloring. And one reason we did it was because no one else was doing cell animation in TV. The people in the business were just, you know, moving over and doing digital, so we really couldn't find enough people.
But is it still, are there cells drawn and just colored?
What I understand is that the drawings are there, but they're not colored, so there's no colored cells available.
That's right. That's just, the drawings are cleaned up, and then they're digitized, and then they're colored in the computer.
Really? So are they on paper, or?
The drawings are.
So
drawings
there's
are
no paper. Celluloid. No celluloid. No cells. No.
Fake ones.
Fake ones.
Yes. They may say there's no cells, but there's 13 years times 25 episodes times 15,000.
Yeah.
No, just quite a few.
Those of you who are paying $500 a cell, they'll delete that for sure.
We did it!
And so, from this simple man came the proof.
Here's another episode that ends at the end of Act 2.
Good night.
Ah, Mr. Nimoy, we have 10 minutes left.
Oh, fine. Well, let me just get something out of my car.
I don't think he's coming.
This is a squeaky voice teen's probably his best job. Usually he works at a fast food place or a donut place.
But he didn't have a job for very long.
No.
Me and Cher still have that stupid show?
No, she won an Oscar and he's a congressman.
Good night.
That's one of my favorite jokes. That it really is true.
Simpson, that is.
Marge, kids, you're about to show my videotape.
Local man Homer Simpson, shown here with his tongue stuck to a lamppost, has given us...
That's another of my favorite running things, is just file photos where you have Homer in a ridiculous position.
Oh, that looks great.
That's great. And we
I
did
think
this
around
in post.
Too, wasn't it when Fox had Alien Autopsy?
Yeah.
This highly promoted thing where they claimed to have footage of a real alien being autopsied, and it had been shopped around for 5 years. And
operator who's getting fired tomorrow. Very unprofessional, Phil.
Well, Lise, what do you think about the alien now?
That sounds like a good idea for a reality show now, doesn't it?
Wasn't the autopsy supposed to take place a long time ago when it was in black and white?
Yeah, footage that the government had
But suppressed. It was like done with sort of like contemporary handheld camera technique, yeah.
It's again, Skeptical Inquirer did a point-by-point debunking of the whole thing.
If you love Skeptical Inquirer so much, why don't you subscribe to it?
Maybe I will.
Is the alien Santa Claus?
Al, earlier in the show, there were two jokes about Urkel, and I think that you guys did Urkel jokes in The Critic, too.
Another
seems like something that comes up a lot where you guys like to make fun of Urkel.
And we stopped last year.
Yeah.
We didn't know we'd run this long, and people would still be watching these shows. That's why we have commentary to explain our joke
and why it happened this way.
Now there, we had wanted to do the Close Encounters music, and I believe we didn't get the music right.
Wow. It's awful close.
Well, it's hard, when it's like five notes, like you got to make everyone different.
What do you want in your hot dog?
I love that reason.
Yeah. Surprise me.
People must call him Spock. Not Mr. Nimoy.
We sold those out in 5 minutes.
Don't!
Marge, how could you?
These shirts are 100% cotton. And look at the fine stitching on dough.
Another thing, I don't know if I mentioned in the commentary, one thing we always, you know, would have to be very careful with was the lettering on things because the people doing the cells didn't have English as their first language.
That's right. Yeah, it was more difficult. And we didn't have Photoshop back then.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't have pencils.
There was a joke there after Homer goes and asks to buy the shirt. You guys took that out. The guy says, I just told you we were sold out. And then he goes to again.
That's funny, because I was watching that going, well, there's a flaw.
Yeah.
That seems like a funny joke.
It's bringing love. Don't let it get away.
It's a great line.
Springfield crowds turn very quickly.
Yeah.
And then he stepped back.
I always thought that was a pretty big cheat. You're awfully close to him without noticing that.
That's a cheat and a half.
Oh, I thought it was perfectly plausible.
I'm glad. I think we were going to do this whole thing without an explanation. I think we had to work a long time to figure out.
Yeah, we didn't have it for a while. Well, it's a more logical explanation than the X-Files offer.
They offer usually no explanation. That's a great pose.
This scene here was done by an artist who's been on our show, I think, probably since the first episode, Ishvan Mohoros.
Oh, yes.
A really talented Hungarian animator. And anything like this that's weird or, you know, requires some kind of sensibility, he always does brilliant work. He came up with this walk. My favorite.
And then when
one.
He glows, it's just completely gratuitous.
I'll field that question. A lifetime of working in a nuclear power plant has given me a healthy...
This was done by our man in Omaha, Mark Irvin.
Oh, yes, yes.
Who has directed on The Simpsons and Futurama. And then gave it all up to go live in Omaha. So we send him work freelancing.
Really? Mm-hmm. He can do this from Omaha?
Well, he can. Oh.
So we did this before the 40-year-old virgin.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cell you want to have. Come on. Look at that.
Good morning, starshine. Here we are, so
actually, it is a little similar, too, because the whole cast of the episode is in the song.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just like Apatow.
Yeah, with a cameo by...
Is this song also from here?
Copyright, schmoppy, right?
I'm Leonard Nimoy. Good night, and keep watching the skis! Skies.
we actually based this on the beginning of Plan 9 from Outer
right,
Space.
Right, with Criswell.
Criswell. Yeah. Before that movie came out, I was a big fan of Criswell and Ed Wood.
That movie's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's a great, great film. Well, I think that's it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Very good. Somebody's got a dentist appointment.
I guess I better get going. If we're gonna, I don't want to miss that. That'd be very nice. Novocaine. I think I'll ask for some gas. They still let you do that, don't they?
What, gas?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll find out and report back at the next commentary.
Depends on what you get done.
Great episode.
Yeah. Very well written,
very
I think.
Well, very well written. Guys.
My goodness. Thank you very much.